Starting in September, the partial rollback of Measure 110 goes into effect, recriminalizing drug possession that Oregon voters decriminalized back in 2020. I'm Mike Green. Today on the Jefferson Exchange, we're talking about Measure 110, drug addiction, and the efforts employed by the state of Oregon to help those caught in a complex web of drug addiction, law enforcement, and recovery resources. You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. My guest today is Abby Stamp, Executive Director of the Oregon Health Authority's Measure 110 program. Welcome to the JX, Abby.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning.
Well, your hiring was just announced 2 weeks ago. How's it going?
Well, so far it's going great. That's because I don't start until mid-October. I am actually joining you from vacation with my family. I have a couple more months, but I wanted to make sure I wrap things up well in Multnomah County before I start this new position.
Well, that's pretty nice. I'd like to get your perspective up front about the complexity of Measure 110 and getting it to do what it was intended to do. So as someone in the behavioral health business, did you anticipate the kind of difficulties and reactions that Measure 110 has produced?
Well, like many of Oregonians in 2020, I also voted in favor of Measure 110, and I have been working at the intersection of criminal justice and behavioral health for a few decades. And the idea that the medical side of our state would be able to lean in and really support folks who were struggling with addiction was incredibly exciting, but also, as you note, a daunting task, because usually it's the criminal justice system that is left to deal with folks who are possessing or dealing or using illicit substances. So I always knew it was going to be really complex. And I think with the multiple challenges of an incoming global pandemic, with behavioral health and other systemic workforce challenges, and doing something completely innovative and new was going to be an incredibly steep hill to climb, and it clearly has been.
So for those who are not familiar with Measure 110, can you talk about Measure 110's background, its history? What are the conditions that led to the state legislature repealing the law once it became law?
So it's a very, very complex question, and I think I'll boil it down to two key things. Measure 110, in a recognition that drug addiction, substance use disorders, truly is a medical condition and should be treated as such, I think really acknowledged that need with an attempt to really bolster the interventions and supports for folks who are struggling with addiction. And it did two things then. One, it, as you noted, decriminalized simple possession. So folks who were found to have contact with law enforcement and had drugs in their pockets would not be criminally prosecuted. They could be given a citation and a referral to drug treatment instead. And the other thing that Measure 110 did was created a revenue stream of marijuana revenue to the state to develop what's called a BHRN, B-H-R-N, a Behavioral Health Resource Network, so that in every county and every community across the entire state, the communities would be able to develop and design their own individualized responses and supports to help folks who were ready get on the track to recovery. So, as I mentioned, but then came a global pandemic, and really Measure 110 in 2020 was passed before the infiltration of illicit fentanyl. And I live in Portland and have seen firsthand the incredible damage that illicit fentanyl has caused to folks in our community, businesses and individuals alike. So with the passage of House Bill 4002, which has passed in this Oregon legislative session, what that did is people say it's a Measure 110 fix, but it really didn't change any of the resources that are available through the Behavioral Health Resource Network. It simply created a recriminalization of drug possession. So now, well, starting September 1st, when someone is in contact with a law enforcement officer and they have drugs in their possession, they can be prosecuted because of that is, again, a violation of Oregon law.
Well, as someone who is very familiar with behavioral health programs, what can you tell people who are not so familiar about the expectations for people seeking substance abuse treatment? What do you expect as the outcomes?
Well, I think one of the hardest things is that particularly with folks who have been long-term sufferers of drug addiction. It's not a one and done. You don't simply have law enforcement contact and get referral to treatment, and then you start treatment and you find recovery and you're abstinent for the next 30 years. Research has shown over and over again that it can take 8, 10, 12, 14 times for someone to have contact with the therapeutic intervention before it sticks, or before the person is really willing and ready to dive into the incredibly physically and emotionally challenging process of seeking recovery. And my background is in clinical social work, and so I know direct experience how challenging it can be for folks and their families and their support systems to really work through that treatment process and to really unpack the underlying reasons that folks are struggling with addiction. And not to mention, of course, the mental health and addiction stigma. You know, it's a really different story when people seek support and services because they have a cancer diagnosis, or they're struggling with emphysema or another chronic health condition. Substance use disorders are just that, a chronic health condition. And I certainly believe that with the incredible lack of behavioral health workforce, that absolutely exacerbates the challenges with folks who are those who are actually ready to engage in that incredibly challenging journey.
Hmm. So do you think the expectations for success of Measure 110 as a whole were just too high?
That's a really good question. I think the expectations were high. And I also think with some cautious optimism for those of us who have worked in these systems for a long time. I think cautious optimism is fine, but I think the real challenge when a measure passes or the legislature creates a new law, those of us who have been working at the municipal and county level that have to implement those ideas and those legal changes. And I think system change is really, really hard. And being able to be well prepared and make sure that whatever changes are passed can be done thoughtfully. And again, you know, you were in Ashland and I live in Portland. We live in really different communities, not to mention the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. That every county and city and area needs to be ready to implement whatever legal challenges or legal changes the legislature or through measure our communities pass. So high expectations. I think we always knew it would be tough. And unfortunately, I am a proponent of decriminalization. But, you know, it didn't work this time. And I certainly hope that, you know, I'll live in a future where our children and grandchildren will be able to live in a community and in a state where there are robust treatment and support services, and that we really can handle drug addiction as the medical condition it truly is.
I'm talking with Abby Stamp, Executive Director of the Oregon Health Authority's Measure 110 program. You're welcome to join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Abby, can you talk a little bit more about the Measure 110 program at the Oregon Health Authority and what's it set up to do?
I can talk to you, Mike, in what I know so far as someone who hasn't started the job yet.
Gotcha.
Yes. And so what I have identified in my research and contacts and conversation to date is that there are a few complex components of the Measure 110 implementation. And again, this is not about the decriminalization question. This is really about the revenue that seeks to fund the behavioral health resource networks across the state. There are, I think, four key players in the Measure 110 work. There's the Oregon Health Authority, my new employer. There's the Oversight and Accountability Council, which is a group of folks with lived experience and peers and community members who advise on how to spend those dollars. There are behavioral health resource networks, which are the networks of services and providers who actually do the treatment and the services, as well as our, you know, community, governments as a whole, and our tribal communities. And what I am looking to do is to understand what has happened well, what hasn't happened well, what needs to be fixed, what needs to be continued, and figure out how I can use my background in collaboration between adversarial parties in our legal system. So I'm used to working with law enforcement, police chiefs, judges, both defense attorneys and prosecutors, in addition to behavioral health experts, to bring folks together to find a common understanding so that they can bridge those differences, build consensus, and move forward. And I see this new job as many similar opportunities between the state government, the Oversight and Accountability Commission, in addition to communities and the behavioral health resource networks. That those are folks who really, I think, should be tied together kind of with love and compassion and understanding about how challenging this is. And again, there isn't a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow that's going to continue to fund the behavioral health resource networks. There are limited dollars to do this work. So I'm looking forward and diving in to work with these partners to build those relationships and increase that consensus to help contribute what I can to a better and healthier Oregon.
Well, it sounds like you're somewhat of an orchestra conductor, getting everyone to play well together.
That has been my job, yes, for the last 11 years. It has been challenging and a huge learning experience. And I certainly believe that one of the reasons I think I'll be a good fit, well, I hope to be, I certainly am going to go into this new position with, you know, all my passion and spit and vinegar to do what I can to help improve the conditions across the state. But yeah, absolutely bringing connection and building bridges on folks who may not necessarily have worked together previously.
Well, a lot of your work has been focused on young people in the justice system. Will that continue to be a component of your work at Oregon Health Authority?
I actually left my work in the juvenile justice system about 12 years ago, and over the past 11 have been working at the local public safety coordinating council of Multnomah County. Every Oregon county has a local public safety coordinating council, but continuing to use my experience working with young people to keep that incredibly unique, I think, and distinct approach to working with folks who are not full adults just yet in that collaboration work, but absolutely into the Measure 110 work. We see, you know, substance use disorders don't stop at 18 or start at 18. But I do look forward to learning across the state what services and supports are available to folks who are younger, in addition to those for adults and honestly for families. As a former family therapist, I know drug addiction impacts young, old, and the like.
Well, there's a couple of questions I have to ask you, and we're running out of time, but can you briefly tell us about the Behavioral Health Resource Network? And I understand there's a public hearing on August 16th regarding the rules governing drug treatment and recovery services of Measure 110. How can the public engage in that hearing?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. As I was pursuing and exploring the potential of getting into this new position, I was on the Oregon Health Authority's Measure 110 website, and that is where I saw some really inspiring pieces videos about different behavioral health resource networks that have developed through the funding of Measure 110 across the state. And so there are behavioral health resource network resources. Anybody can Google BHRN or Behavioral Health Resource Network, and you'll be able to see what is available in your individual community. And like your listeners, I look forward to learning as I get on the job in October and visiting each of those behavioral health resource networks and identifying the best way for folks to continue to get involved.
Well, for anyone interested in sharing their thoughts, ideas, or opinions on the rules for Measure 110 drug treatment and recovery services, I understand that the last day is September 18th, right? And if people can't weigh in on August 16th at the hearing, what are the ways that they can have their voices heard before the deadline?
That is an incredibly good question. I don't know the answer, because again, I'm not quite in the position yet, but I can happily do some follow-up with you, Mike, if there is an additional posting you have on your website, that maybe there's like a contact us or an information at the Oregon Health Authority that people can submit information to.
That's exactly what we'll do, Abby. I appreciate that. We'll make sure that we follow up with you and get that information on our website at the Jefferson Exchange. Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Abby Stamp is the Executive Director of the Oregon Health Authority's Measure 110 program. Thank you for joining us, Abby.
Thank you, Mike. Have a wonderful day.